Hunt him, shoot him, cook him, amen, and we'll be good to go, amen. So Revelations chapter 2, go ahead and stand if you got your Bibles and if you're able to stand. Revelations 2, verse 13, only going to read that one verse. Studying on these churches, trying to find the characteristics that mirror the Christian and mirror the church. And we are bogged down in verse 13 because we want to make sure that we can find in the Bible some attributes of our faith and what we stand for. Amen. So y'all had some homework last time we got together, and I'm praying that y'all did your homework and did due diligence and are going to work with us tonight. Y'all going to work with me? My wife, she's supporting me. Amen. The rest of y'all going to try to work with me? Amen. All right. Don't work against me. We'll be fine. Amen. All right. Let's read verse 13 together. Revelations 2, verse 13. Here we go. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Father, bless the next moments that we have together and help us, Lord, to exercise our minds and our spiritual sword that we have. But Lord, we may be able to give an answer to those that ask us what our faith is, what we stand in, what we believe, and why we believe in it. Can we prove it, and can we back it up scripturally? And I pray that as we, Lord, are here tonight, we might leave, Lord, more enlightened, more, Lord, ready and equipped to handle a wicked world that believes not God. And help us, Lord, in what we think, say, and do to glorify thee. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, praise the Lord. We are looking at these different churches here, and we're on Pergamos right now, and the church type that's represented here in the Christian type. We saw in verse 12 the reference to Christ already. These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with the two edges. And then we saw their resolve, how they kind of resolve themselves to say, we're going to stand. And he said, notice this, I know thy works. And that's their toil that he noticed. And I mentioned this to you guys. Aren't you glad that God knows what you do? Amen. He also knows what we don't do. Amen. But I'm so glad he knows what we do. He says, I know thy works. Notice their toil there. Within their turf, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And we kind of talked about that, where Satan's seat is, the throne, where he's at, where he's occupying. Amen. And then we looked at their tenacity. And he said, thou holdest fast my name, even though they're in an area where Satan's seat is. He says, thou holdest fast my name. Amen. By the way, we mentioned this, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we what? Must be saved. And so these Christians in Pergamos, they were holding on to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their tenacity was shining, even though they were where Satan's seat is. Amen. How would you like to try to shine where Satan's seat is? Amen. That's tough, but that shows their tenacity. Then we looked at their trust of truth. Their trust of truth. Notice what he says down there. Thou hast not denied my faith, even in those days where an Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. So Antipas was there. Jesus is pointing him out as a faithful martyr. He died for the cause of Christ. But he said, look, you guys are there where Antipas was. He was martyred, and you still are not denying the faith. Amen. You know what makes a Christian cower down more than anything? When somebody else ridicules another Christian and you happen to be there. You think, oh, are they going to talk about me next? What are they going to say about my faith? Amen. And we begin to get scared. Now, take it up a notch. What if they punch you in the nose or punch the Christian in the nose? What would you do? Take it up another notch. What if they kill that Christian? What would you do? He says, hey, wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, he died for me. Think about it. What would you do if the Christians were being ridiculed? I remember when we were in Belgium, there was a guy that was saved, but he wasn't living for God. And he said that he was with the other guys there joking, and they were picking fun at the Christians and ha ha ha. And he was a Christian. And he was sitting there with the hecklers that were heckling the Christians. And he thought to himself, I'm supposed to be over there. I'm supposed to be over there with those guys, but I'm sitting here with the hecklers. He got right with God, and he said, look, I'm not sitting with the hecklers no more. I'm getting over there where I belong, amen. Imagine if you were over there with the hecklers, and you were the Christian, what would you do? Read it again. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. He said that his throne is there, and thou holdest fast my name, and has not denied my face. He said, you're holding my name fast. He said, you got some tenacity there. He said, but you has not have not denied my faith. He said, you've got some trust of truth. I can trust you with my truth. You haven't denied my faith. He said, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Dwelleth means that he is abiding there. He's living there. Wow. How would you like to be there, Brother Scott? I know you probably feel like he's in Mexico sometime. Amen. Say, so Satan must be here. Amen. And we feel like he's in Tucson sometimes. Amen. Pastor White was trying to get them folks to the Lord on Sunday, and the phone kept ringing. Thinking, why couldn't it ring some other time? I'm trying to lead somebody to the Lord, and bling, 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 bling. Like, wait a minute. What's going on here? Satan's got some unusual timing, doesn't he? He knows how to do those things, amen. We just praise God they still got saved, amen. So their tenacity, thou holdest fast my name, he said that your trust of truth, the trust with the truth, he has not denied my faith. And I mentioned this to you. What are some things contained in the faith? Because he says, thou hast not denied my faith. Some things contained in the faith that we hold dear and we should never deny. And we mentioned the virgin birth. We mentioned the sinless life of Christ. We mentioned Jesus' atoning death. We mentioned his bodily resurrection. We mentioned his ascension to heaven. We mentioned his second coming. And we mentioned the gospel, which is the mainstay. If we were asked, what is the fundamental basics or basis to what we believe of our faith? What are they? Would we be able to quickly go to our Bible and point to them and find them out? We should. And that was your homework that I gave you last time. Can we back them up scripture? Somebody said, well, you talk about this virgin birth. Show me in the Bible where that's at. Can we go there? Amen. And so that's what we want to finish up tonight. Being able to back it up. Why? Because he says, thou hast not denied my faith, the truth of what the fundamental faith is about Jesus Christ, even in those days when Antipas was. And by the way, back in these days, they were getting persecuted left and right. Left and right. Matter of fact, John being exiled to the Isle of Patmos was one of those that was being persecuted. But this guy, Antipas, obviously was martyred for the faith. And so the first one is this. We believe the virgin birth. Amen. How many of y'all agree with that? Amen. Say amen. All right. We believe that. Amen. Now, can we explain that? No, we can't explain it, but we believe it. That's the Bible. Amen. Now, we can back it up scripturally. How can a lady that's never been touched by a physical man have a child with no outside intervention? It's a miracle. Amen. And the virgin birth is a miracle. He says, thou hast denied my faith. Will we be able to stand for that and stand toe-to-toe with somebody else who's going to heckle us and say, I believe that. That's part of my faith. And then can we back it up by the Bible? Let me give you one area you can look at, amen. Matthew chapter number 1 and verse 18. How many of y'all found that area? Matthew 1:18, that's one of the ones you found, amen. Matthew 1:18, Ms. Duffy, if you are there, read Matthew. You're not there? All right, who's got Matthew 1:18? Tony, go ahead and read Matthew 1:18. Amen. Found with child of the Holy Ghost. In other words, she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the average unsaved person will try to poke holes in that. Amen. But guess what? It's a miracle. You can try to poke holes in it all the way while you're poking your way into hell. Amen. But the Bible says what it says. Now, go ahead and read some more, Tony. Keep reading. Oh, you turned the page already? Okay, keep reading. Okay, now we got the Holy Ghost there again. Amen. Keep reading. Okay, keep reading. Amen. So now we've got two things working here. Now we've got the actual account of the birth, but now we've got an Old Testament reference that we can back this up with. We can say, hey, look, this was already talked about back in those days. The Jews believed that, amen, although they didn't believe Jesus, amen, but they believed that, amen. So now we've got the Old Testament. We can back this up. We can say, hey, look, this was prophecy. This is fulfilled prophecy, and so we're on the right road, amen. And so notice what it goes on to say down there after verse 23. Read that, Tony. Yeah, 24 and 25. Amen. Knew her not till that she had brought forth her firstborn. So then we've got the further revelation that he had no intimate relationship with her whatsoever. This was all of God. This was the Holy Spirit. We've got the Old Testament reference. We can go back there. We can couple that in. That is one of the mainstays of our faith. And so back there when he says, hey, look, you haven't denied my faith. I've stood toe to toe. This is what I believe. This is how I'm saved. I understand that. By the way, without a virgin birth, there is no salvation for you and I. Amen. It had to be fulfilled by Scripture. It had to be foretold. It had to be fulfilled. It was. We have a virgin birth, and I don't care what everybody else says. Well, you know, it didn't have to be that. Yes, it did have to be that. And it had to be by the book. Amen. And so the virgin birth is one of the things that we do stand on and stand by when it comes to our faith. And we've got to be able to back that up without compromise, with conviction and compassion. I believe this. Now, you can try to say, well, that couldn't happen anymore. Why do you think it's called a miracle? Amen. Who else was born that way? Amen. Amen. All right, so the virgin birth, that's one. Amen. Anybody find another reference? Probably one of the other Gospels. Yes, ma'am. Luke 1:26-35. Let's go over to Luke. Amen. Now again, many, many different places we can go. Luke 1, you said 26-35, okay? And the same basic account there. Notice verse 27. It says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Of course, she goes down. She talks to the angel. Verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He should be great, should be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of course, it goes out to verse number 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born unto thee shall be called what? The Son of God. Verse 37, with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. So the virgin birth, we can back this up, and this is a mainstay to what you and I believe. And so when you look at the idea of them not denying the faith, that's something that you and I, we cannot deny if we believe the Bible and we believe God. Amen. We've got to stand on that truth. Let's go to the next one here. It's something else that we believe. We believe in the sinless life of Christ, that he was sinless, without sin. Not only was he not born of a man, he was sinless. How many of y'all agree with that? Say amen. 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 By the way, if he's got any sin in him, he's just like you and I. He's a sinner, but he's not. He's God. Amen. All right, so let's give you a verse on that. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How many had that same reference? 2 Corinthians 5? Yeah. You had that one? Amen. 2 Corinthians 5. All right, now y'all were supposed to did your homework now. It's an open book test. I just love open book tests, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but then the teacher expects you to get it right when you got an open book test. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, notice what it says down there. And now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Notice verse 21. And what are we talking about here? The sinless life of Christ. For he hath made him, who's him? Jesus, to be sin for us. Who's us? You and I. Who knew what? No sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when it comes to the virgin birth, we can back it up scripturally. But when it comes to the sinless life of Christ, we can back it up. people out there would try to say he was just a man. No, he was more than a man. He was man God. Amen. 100% man, 100% God. Amen. And all humanity and all divinity in one. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. The Bible says what? Bodily. It was in him. And so when you see this, the sinless life of Christ, we have got to be able to defend that and not deny that. Why? That's one of the things we believe. We believe this. Amen. The sinless life of Christ. And it says, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Who found a different verse besides the sinless life on that one? Anybody else find a different one? What'd you get? Okay, give me just one of them. 1 Peter 2:22. All right, let's go over there. Amen. Again, we want to be able to back this up in multiple places. 1 Peter 2:22. Amen. Same basic thing. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Again, did no sin. What does that mean? Sinless. Amen. So when it comes down to the sinless life of Christ, we have it there. What did they say? Hey, look, in the days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, you didn't deny my faith. When you really could have cowered down and run, you didn't. You didn't. You didn't deny my faith. What do we believe? We believe the virgin birth. We believe the sinless life of Christ. We believe Jesus' atoning death. That means that he died for us. He died in our place. He died in our stead. Amen. Romans 5 and verse 8. Let's go over there. Anybody get a different one besides Romans 5:8? Or somebody get Romans 5:8? Pastor White got that one. Amen. So Pastor White, go to Romans 5:8 and read that for me. And that's a good one to have, too. What do we believe? Jesus' atoning death. He died for us. He died in our place. Amen. And that's what Jesus' atoning death means. That not only was he virgin born, not only was he sinless, he died for us. Why? We needed a sinless person to die for us. Why? We're sinners. We can't die for ourselves. We got a debt to pay. Amen. Hey, you can't say, well, I want to die for you. No, you got to make sure you're in the right position to die for someone. Amen. And by the way, when you and I die, we have to pay for what? Our sins. Jesus Christ died for us and he paid the debt for our sins. Amen. And now we can be debt free. Amen. How many of y'all like to be debt free? Amen. I would love it if all my finances were taken care of, never in debt ever again. But spiritually, that's exactly how we are. We're debt free. It's been paid. What did Jesus say? It is what? Finish. Totelestai. It's done. It's over. Praise God. I'm glad. Now, why couldn't my finances be that way? Amen. That'd be a different story. Amen. It's finished. Amen. It's in the works. Amen. And so when you look at this, you go down there, verse number, it just goes down there. Notice let's go to six. Verse six. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for who? The ungodly. Amen. Notice verse eight. God commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Going on to verse number 12. Wherefore, by one man sin into the world, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have what? Sinned. And notice, come down to verse number 19. Yeah, amen. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall what? Many be made righteous. So you see the substitution, this atonement, what we have and what Jesus did and what he died for us. And it goes down there, goes back and forth showing what Adam did or what the law did and what Moses did and how all this comes together. And it says in verse 21 that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Jesus' atoning death, it's there. Amen. Praise God. And folks, they can say if they want to say, well, I'm trying to be good enough. I'm trying to keep the law. You can say what you want to say. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Amen. I'd just rather say, Jesus, you did it all. You paid. I'll just trade. Amen. I don't know about you. When I saw that elevator going down, when I got saved, I thought, ain't that, I'm dark enough already. I don't need to get any darker. Amen. The temperatures are hot down there. I did not want to go to hell. Amen. The young man, a prince, Brother Hall, was dealing with him 2 weeks ago. And he said after he went through everything, he said, I want to make sure he understood. And he said, hey, he said, so now you know what's going on with this? You know, he said, the only thing I know is I don't want to go to hell. He said, I don't want to go to hell. Folks, hey, when I got saved, that's how I was. I did not want to go to hell. And I thought that I was a very good candidate, amen. And I did not want to get nominated, nor did I want to get voted in to go, amen. I thought, this is not going to happen, amen. Too many ballots are cast against me already, amen. I need to get impeached from this position, amen. And Jesus Christ was the one to free me, amen. And I'm so glad that the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me of my sin. So the virgin birth we see is imperative to our faith. The sinless life of Christ is imperative. Jesus' atoning death is imperative. And this next one, some don't believe it, still his bodily resurrection. Go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 27. They'll tell you all sorts of theories about this, how he didn't really die, how he swooned, how this happened, how that happened, amen, how they switched the bodies out, and I mean, just all sorts of crazy things. I mean, the Bible even gives us an account saying somebody did some foolishness, amen, knowing that if that really happened in real life, those soldiers would have been killed, amen. John chapter number 20, and notice down there in verse number 25. It says down there, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said, that's Thomas, unto them, except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my what? Hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not what? Faithless, but believing. He said, look, you got to touch me. You can't touch a spirit. Amen. Bodily resurrection, body. And I like Luke's account of this as well. Go over to Luke chapter 24. Luke's account is very, how many had Luke 24? Amen. How many had John chapter 20? Amen. Those are two excellent accounts. Luke 24, I like this one. Luke chapter 24. Again, we want to be able to stand just like these Pergamos Christians did and not deny our faith that we hold dear to and believe in and stand for. It does us no good to just believe it here whilst we're all together. Amen. When it's going to do us some good, it does do us some good. Let me stop that. Amen. It does do us some good. Amen. But it does better when we go out there and stand amongst those people out there where Satan's seat dwells and where they're trying to martyr the antipases of the world, when they're trying to mock us and scorn us. That's when it matters. My wife talks about the times when she attended the U of A back in the days. And before we got saved, and the street preachers would be out there, you know, bounding on the Bible and preaching, and they still do it down there now, Tony, amen. And my wife, they heckle them and talk about them. My wife's like, look at this preacher out there. Now she married to one, amen. See how the table turns, amen. Look at them out there, fools out there preaching that Bible, amen. And they would heckle them and man and all sorts of things, and they still do it, amen. And Pastor Nelson wanted me to go down there and start a ministry. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? When that happens, and you've got to stand against that, can we stand? Can we stand? We should. We should be able to. We should be able to say, you know what? I still believe the virgin birth. I still believe the sinless life of Christ. I still believe the atoning death. I still believe the body. I don't care what you say. You can throw all the eggs at me you want to. It doesn't make me any more unsaved. It can't unsave me. I still believe what I believe. You can throw a tomato at me. Remember that movie, Sheffy? They threw the corn cobs at him. Amen. He's a preacher's up there trying to preach, ducking them corn cobs. Amen. That's an old movie. I mean, y'all seen Sheffy? You saw it? Did anybody ever throw corn cobs at your brother? No. They just shot at you down in Mexico. That's just all. They say bullets, y'all. What's that? What's a corn cob? Amen. Notice Luke 24 and verse 36. And where am I at? Oh, I'm in 23. All right, 24 and verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And but they were terrified and affrighted and supposed they had seen a what? A spirit. Now they supposed they saw a spirit. Okay. Now, a spirit would be a totally different feel than a body. Amen. Huh? Yeah. You know, yeah, it's just, I'm not trying to get close to the spirits, but you know what I'm saying? As long as they keep their distance from me, we'll be fine. Amen. I know the spirits can inhabit a body. That's for sure. Amen. But he says down there, they suppose they had seen the spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Question mark. And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Another question mark. He said, what's going on? Behold my what? Hands and my what? Feet. That it is who? I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. He said, a spirit's not going to have flesh and bones. We have flesh and bones because we need the bone marrow. Amen. Y'all need the bones for your structure. You need the bones for your stature. And without bones, you know how you would be? Like a bag of dirty clothes. Clean clothes, I'm sorry. You would just fall. You need your skeletal structure to hold your body up. Think about if you had no bones. You wouldn't have no head. It'd be like one of those bozo. How many of y'all had to punch in bozo bag back in the days? None of y'all had one of those? I'm the only one who had one. He had the big red nose. When you hit the nose, he said, ah, I'm bozo. You know, you hit it again. Ha, 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 ha. That's a humdinger or something like that. I used to punch that thing and jump on that thing. But you know when the air went out, you know how that thing went? Why? We need our bones. Jesus said, I got flesh. I got bones. Hey, that's not a spirit. And notice down there in verse number 40, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? Further seal the deal. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did what? Eat before them just to seal the deal, in case there's any doubt in your mind. Not only do I have flesh and bones, I can eat. Amen. Hey, what am I saying here? We have got to believe that he bodily rose again. Why? Our salvation hangs upon 3 days and three nights in that tomb and his death and his burial and his bodily resurrection. Our faith hangs on that. And so we've got this bodily resurrection. All right, here's another thing that we stand on that is crucial. His ascension to heaven. Go to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. We got to hurry here. We only got a few minutes left. Acts chapter number 1. By the way, anybody have this verse? Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Anybody have that one? You had that one, Brother Duffy? Read verses 8 and 9 for me. And this is his ascension to heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Amen. Get that one, Brother Duffy. His ascension to heaven.
Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen. Verse 9. Amen. He was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. So you have there his ascension to heaven. Amen. By the way, there's many, many different verses that we could use there. Who had a different verse that you can just let us know what verse you had on his ascension? Would you have? 10:11? Okay. 10:11, we're going to use that for the second coming. Anybody else had another for ascension? There's several that we could use. Amen. And there's many we could use for a second coming. But since we're here at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, 9, we use 10, 11 for a second coming. And notice what it says here. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Question mark. This what kind of Jesus? This same Jesus, not a replica, not somebody like me, not a representative, not an angel, but this same Jesus. I don't want a substitute. I don't want somebody else coming for me. Amen. You see sometimes when the children have to get picked up by somebody that's not their parent, and they send them there, and they kind of get that discipline. Like, you're not my mom. Where's dad? Where's mom? Where's Bobby? Where's Billy? Where's Susan? They always pick me up, but now I got to be with you. You know, that disappointment looks like, well, I'm okay. You know, sometimes I'll pull up, and the kids are expecting to see mom, and it'll be me. Thought you were mom. Boy, such a disappointment to see dad. Amen. It's like, we thought you were mom. It's just you. Just me. Amen. We say, Pastor White. 1 John. Okay, let's read the rest of this one here. So he said this. All right, let's read the rest of it. This same Jesus, where are we at here? Okay. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have what? Seen him go into where? Heaven. So the ascension, he's going up, but the second coming, he is coming back. And that is crucial to you and I for the rapture. Amen. Praise God, because I do not want to see the Antichrist and what he is going to do. Amen. I see enough of it already from his disciples. Amen. And Pastor White, which one you got? John 14 and which one? Oh, John chapter 14, I go to my father's house. John chapter 14, yes, and verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My father's house and many mansions were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That means I'm leaving. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, and whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. And we know verse number 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. So all the rest of religions, you can stack them up, put them on that side, and you put Jesus on this side. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Matters not. He didn't say by baptism. He didn't say by joining the church. He didn't say by good works. He didn't say by tithing, but you should. Amen. He didn't say by good works, which you should. He said, you don't come to the Father except you come through me. Why? I am the sinless one. I am the virgin born one. I am the atoning one. I am the one who has done all these things for you. All the things we talked about, bodily resurrection, his ascension to heaven, second. I am the one. And so when you look at this, it is very imperative that you and I continue to not only know these things, but have multiple verses and be able to stand when everybody else is going to fall. Because the world's out there believing a lie. And there are few Christians standing up really for the things of God. We hear somebody being talked about, we want to cower down real quick. We don't want to stand like we did back in the days. Why? There's fewer of us standing now. And there should be more. The gospel is our mainstay, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and we're going to get ready to close with this. 1 Corinthians 15. This is another thing that we hold dear, the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15. People say, well, I gave them the gospel. If you didn't give them the death, burial, and resurrection, you didn't give them the gospel. Amen. Notice what he says in chapter 15, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you what? The gospel, which I declared, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, but which also ye are what? Saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ did what? Died for our sins. That's that atoning death there. According to what? The scriptures, the Old Testament then has already told me about that. And that he was what? Buried. And that he what? Rose again the third day. How? According to the scriptures. And it gets better, verse 5. And that he was what? Seen. Amen. What better to be credible than to be seen after you have been resurrected, after you were dead? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so when we talk about the gospel, he said, this is the gospel. He died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. Folks, when we go back to Revelations here, and let's go back there as we end this tonight. The main thing that we want to understand is that the mainstay of what we believe is all capitalized in our faith. Revelations chapter number 2. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name. He said, you've got some tenacity. And has not denied my faith. He said, not only do you have that tenacity, but your trust with truth has been sealed. He says, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. He said, that didn't stop you from standing for the faith. You still hold on to the sinless birth of Christ, or the virgin birth. You still hold on to the sinless life of Christ. You still hold on to the atoning death. You still hold on to the bodily resurrection, the ascension, the second coming, the gospel. You still hold that. And by the way, folks, we've got to do the same thing. Yeah. We've got to hold it. We're in this new age where people don't want to hear it anymore, but we still got to give it to them. That's what saves them. That's what saves them. Jesus gave them some commendations here. He said, look, you could have fled. You really could have, but you didn't. He said, even when Antipas was killed, you could have fled, but you didn't. Even where Satan dwells, but you didn't. You didn't. We cannot compromise the faith that we hold so dear, that we stand for and others have died for. Many have died for this book. Many have died for the faith. The Christians of old and the Old Testament and the early days of the church were being killed left and right. You and I are in a land where we're free to do what we want to do. And I remember one of my colleagues one time said, I would die for Jesus. I said, why don't you just try and live for him? That's a good start. Just live for him. Don't deny the faith. Why? She knows what I'm talking about, amen. One of my European friends in Belgium, amen. I would die for the Jesus. Let's just live for him. You'll be all right. John writes and lets them know that they are standing where other faithful saints have stood, Antipas being one of them. Psalm 31, 23, don't turn it, says, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. He preserved the faithful. What did it say down there? Antipas was my faithful martyr. The Lord preserveth the faithful. Don't compromise when there's so many that are looking for an example of faithfulness. They're looking. They're looking. My coworker that I worked with years ago, Kirk, that came for our anniversary the other day, I said, man, I can't believe you came. He said, man, I wouldn't miss this for a while. Now, he's not saved. He said, I'm glad to see you sticking with this stuff all these years. Now, he and I was unsaved buddies together. But now, 17 years later, he's looking and saying, you haven't changed. You're still faithful. And he came. He said, I wouldn't miss this for the world. Now, he's still not saved. I'm hoping he's going to get saved. But I want to be faithful, not for him, but for Jesus. Amen. For Jesus. Don't compromise amongst the faithful. Let's stand, even if Satan's seat does happen to be in America right now. I don't know where his seat is right now. But amid Satan's seat, the saints at Pergamos held on to the name of Jesus and kept the faith and continued their works when it was difficult, not denying their faith. Let you and I leave here with a renewed effort and saying, I am not going to deny. I don't care what happens. I'm not going to be like Peter. I'm not going to be like many others. I'm going to go. I'm going to be faithful. Hey, they may fall on this side. They may fall on that side. They may get persecuted here. They may get ridiculed. But I'm going to stand. They have a good commendation, and they had every opportunity to flee and to fall when Antipas was murdered there, even where Satan dwelleth. But they stood. Amen. Folks, let's endeavor to stand. Amen. I'm glad that we have a book that we can carry and we can still preach it. It's not outlawed yet. It's on its way. Amen. But I can still preach it. I can still walk down the street like this. I can still carry it through the airports. And people think I'm a missionary or something like that, you know. Even before I was saved, I carried. They say, are you a preacher? I said, no. Only preachers carry their Bibles. I said, is that right? I said, I'm not a preacher. This was back in days before I became a preacher. But folks, let's make sure we're faithful. Now, we're going to get into some of the things that they had wrong, but they had so much right. They had so much right. On the edge of corruption, they stood. Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the ability that we have to carry the word of God. And Lord, we know some truths. We don't want to deny the faith. We want to make sure that we can back up what we believe. Lord, these are some basic Bible truths that all of us hold so dear. Help us, Lord, day by day to stand for it, to, Lord, support it, to encourage others that are standing for it and with it and by it. And, Lord, be counted with the faithful like Antipas was until his dying days. Lord, help us to leave here tomorrow. We go to our coworkers and friends and family and neighbors and whoever it is that we may see. Help us not to cower down, but to boldly stand faithful and not deny your name, not deny your faith. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor White is going to come and give us our announcements. Amen. The biggest thing is men get paid up for the conference. And we'll be out on Saturday. Pastor White.